Hey, I heard you had a show coming up.
Yeah, this weekend. You coming?
Dude, I will be there.
Nice. So you got your tickets?
Oh, not yet. I'm gonna get them tomorrow, though.
The show's sold out. Don't worry. I got you on the guest list.
Oh, man, you're the best. Can I get a plus one?
Don't push your luck.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another week of On the Guest List with Foxtrot and the Get Down and White Sox Dave. With you, as always, from the band is your boy Colin. Up in the top left corner here, we have the leader of the Nala Gang, Mr. Dave Williams. Dave, how are we, buddy?
We're doing great. We're doing great. Another weekend comes, another weekend goes. Looking forward to the show, I guess.
Oh, man. Are you upset about the White Sox?
Yeah. I mean, they look like shit. I mean, they're making mistakes that I would yell at high school kids for making, so it's not going to keep going like this. But, yeah, I'm pissed off at them a little bit. But I'm more pissed off that it's Monday tomorrow, I would say. Like, more work. Like, I don't like work. Work sucks. I don't want to do anything.
Well, real quick, before we move on to Kenny, what the hell happened with Eloy Jimenez's jersey?
Dude, like, why do they got to do shit like that, man? Like,
Everybody thought he died. It's so, and
you know the person sending it didn't want to say it, but someone in charge was like, had to send that fucking tweet. And it's like, use your fucking brains, dude.
All right. So also with us this week, we have Mr. Kenny Carkey back again for another week. Kenny, how are you, buddy?
You know, could be better. Could be worse. I'm doing great, man.
This is not an overly optimistic
smoke that blunt right now.
Could be better. Could be worse. About to be a lot better.
There you go.
Kenny. Yeah. One of our questions we got from the fans this week had to do with Kenny and his weed. So we'll get into that. But yeah, back for another week, ladies and gentlemen. We have two great guests this week. We are interviewing Caleb from Colony House. Big band out of Nashville, Tennessee. Just got picked up for Bonnaroo. Just released a new movie. We're going to talk to him about that. Also, our pick of the week this week, out of Canada, our friends, the Blue Stones, just released a new album, doing big time stuff. Great guys. We talked to them later in the episode. Gentlemen, once again, back 11 episodes. Can't believe we made it this far, what we've done thus far. Dave, did you think we'd make it this far?
I thought it was a coin flip, especially when you kind of hit your wagon to a liability like Kenny.
Obviously.
This is his third
Kenny
episode.
He's a part of this now.
I mean, you guys are gamblers, you know what I mean? Like, this could have been great. This could have been horrible. We don't know yet. It's still got time.
Yeah,
you know?
There's so much more time. There's a million more episodes to come, and Kenny could do something colossal.
There's a lot of ways I could get us canceled, yeah, I promise. Yeah.
And that's what I'm kind of betting on here. I assume at some point, so we don't have to do this anymore. Any press is good press. At what point do we just call it On the Guest List with Fox trying to get down White Sox Dave and Kenny Carkey? It's kind of a long name.
Never.
You don't want your name associated with us? What's the beef here?
I'm just that surprise guest every time. You should be just be like, we have a surprise guest every single time, and it's just me every time.
I just don't think Kenny wants people knowing his government name, dude. Kenny doesn't want his government out there with all his shady dealings.
Yeah, bro, I'm totally off the grid.
You operate non-sequential bills.
Big in the counterfeit game, son.
So looking at it, we're in 11 episodes. I've been looking at things that we can improve on the podcast. I think we're doing a pretty good job, but there's always things that we can improve. The one thing that I found for myself personally is I counted last time and I said the word fuck over 50 times. And I need to improve on that because I get lazy in the Northeast Philly.
You mean improve, like do more?
Do more, obviously. I try and put fuck in every other word. But we got done last week and it was super late on the East Coast. And my wife, the next morning I woke up and she was like, so I was listening to your podcast, you recording it last night, and the way you introduced your guest was, and we got fucking this guy this week, and then right after that, we got this fucking guy, he's the fucking man. And I was like, you know what? What I was going to do this week was actually line up shot glasses, and every single time I said fuck, punish myself and take another shot. I don't have any liquor, otherwise I would do it.
I'm going to play a buzzer every single time you say
the
word fuck.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, at least call me out on it every time. I'm trying to do better. Other than that, I mean, for me, like looking at it, I think we could tighten up the segments. I think we can continue to do more things better. But other than that, I think we're cruising. I think we got something nice here.
We're on a little bit of a roll.
We could have Kenny on less episodes. I think that would be great. But other than that, I think we're killing it.
That would help for like a lot of things, like our rapport and camaraderie.
And Dave have been at each other's throat since Kenny came on. Like literally.
Yeah.
Me and him
But like I said, that kind of brings a little bit of life to the podcast.
It is a good thing. Honestly, let's get into some music news. We start off every episode talking about what's going on in the music industry. First and foremost, we all want to give a shout out and prayers up to DMX. Obviously going through a tough time. He's in the hospital right now. people do not give DMX enough credit. DMX was one of the biggest hip hop artists of the early 2000s, saved Def Jam, sold over 74 million albums worldwide. And personally, like, I listen to DMX a lot. It's great gym music. I just want to say that. But DMX, shouts out to DMX. Also, great job in Belly. I don't know if you've ever seen the movie Belly.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah. Belly, bro. Yeah. I was listening to that Volume 2 record, Jay-Z, and he was on there. And you're like, fuck, that went real far back, like 98 and shit.
Dude,
and like,
he was competing with Jay-Z for a while. Like, he was
a more recognizable voice.
Yeah. Dude, nobody's more recognizable voice-wise. Ad-libs. Like, I love DMX, and I don't think he gets enough credit. And his story is unbelievable as to like how he got into what he got into. But more than anything, I think it's important to remember, it doesn't matter what the situation is. Just, I think everybody needs to give DMX his flowers now, because the man absolutely is a legend.
Agreed.
And it's so easy to over, because I saw people tweeting like, wow, I didn't know DMX had fans. Dude, 74 million records.
You know what? That's just us getting old, man.
And young kids being like,
DMX who? And you're like, bro, you don't even fucking know all the shit you listen to today is because of that guy.
100%. I'm a huge Meek Mill fan. I'm from Philadelphia. Meek Mill modeled himself after DMX. DMX is the man. So shout out to
Rough Riders, son, the anthem.
And also, without DMX, you don't have Swiss Beatz. You don't have the Locks were pretty much tacked him. So Jadakiss, Styles P.
Yep.
You got Eve. Rough
hey,
riders,
yo, I'm
dude.
Slipping. I'm falling. I can't get up. Oh, my God, bro. Yeah, so
shout out to DMX. We just want to give that as a start-off point. Other than that, what's going on in music this week? Finally, we see a festival poster get released. I thought it was fake at first. It wasn't. Bonnaroo's lineup got released. I still don't know how they're going to do it. Like, are they going to socially distance at the festival?
All of my heavy crew buddies, like guys who work, like do front of house for like Prince or Prince, and then like 1975 and Queens of the Stone Age. I was talking to them about that, and they're like, "It's not gonna happen." And I'm like,
"I don't think it's
gonna
happen either."
They're like, "I just don't think it's gonna happen." And you're like, "I mean, I don't know anybody else more on the inside than like heavy touring crew guys who are like, I don't see it.
I don't see how you can pull that off at this point, because I mean, not only that. All these people are out of practice. Nobody set up a festival in a year. Like, it seems like too many moving pieces and too many variables. Like, no matter how many people get vaccinated, I feel like this is a pipe dream. I'm just happy to see some form of, like, normalcy.
Yeah.
Looking at the headliners this year, Foo Fighters and Megan Thee Stallion are the headliners.
You know, here's the thing. God, I wish I could see so much more of Dave Grohl. I wish he would just be more around. You know, I wish radio stations would play more of Foo Fighters. Honestly, that's not.
Listen,
enough.
We are a pro Foo Fighters podcast. You watch your
no,
mouth.
No, listen. Bro. I'm a massive Foo Fighters fan and a Dave Grohl fan, but you know, also at some point, fuck off, man.
Like,
do you think Dave Grohl's sitting in his house right now, going, "God, I wish I could see less of Kenny Carkeet. I wish there'd be less of Kenny around."
He should be.
I'm not even the equivalent of one of his fucking eye boogers. You know what I mean? Like, I don't even know that shit.
So, other than that, on that day, Run the Jewels is also that night.
There you go.
Who else do we have this night? Bro, Nelly is that night. I'm going. If Nelly's there, if Nelly and the Deftones do a song together, I'm fucking there. That's what there's one fuck. That's what we need to get back to normal.
Take
in this
a shot.
Country. He's actually got a buzzer. Okay.
He was waiting for that for so long.
Oh, man, get ready. You're going to be buzzing that thing. The next night.
Gotcha.
Lizzo and Tame Impala are the headliners. I don't
Tame
know.
Tame Impala, you're so fucking Philly, bro.
What? Is that not how you say Tame Impala?
It's Tame Impala, son.
I would say Impala, I think.
Impala.
Tame
Impala.
Yeah. Tame Impala. Impala.
Like
yeah, yeah, but he really pushed the Philly on it hard.
Yeah,
Tame Impala.
You know what my worst word is? You know the thing you dry off with out of the shower? How do you say that?
Towel?
I say tail.
That's the dumbest shit I've ever heard.
That's the dumbest shit I've ever heard.
Like if I like wow. when I used to bartend, I would be like, yo, I just broke something. Give me that tail. Like it's very quick. It's T-A-Y-L, tail.
You know what happened to me the other day? My wife was laughing at me. I don't know if this is like a Southern thing or not, but chest of drawers. These are a chest of drawers.
Dresser.
I thought my whole life it was Chester drawers. And I said that the other day, and she fucking lost it on me. And I was like, I thought it was Chester drawers. I didn't know.
Oh, my God. All right, that's pretty bad. I'm not going to lie.
That's really fucking bad. How old are you? 36, you said?
Yeah.
That's
I also say hello instead of pillow. Yeah, we all have dumb shit, man.
Oh, man,
yeah,
dude.
I got a lot of dumb shit.
Listen, me and Dave have very discernible accents. You don't have to tell us. We got tons of dumb stuff. Other than Lizzo and Tame Impala that night, My Morning Jacket, Jason Isbell, Phoebe Bridgers, Incubus. That'd be interesting to see.
Yeah, that'd be a good
That's a good night, actually. I like that. Oh, and Mark Ribollet is there.
Now we're talking. Now we're talking.
I want him on the podcast so bad.
He'll never do it.
Dude, no. I would love to hear him.
Yeah, dude, he's single-handedly creating a new form of DJ. And live looping is nothing new. It's nothing new. But, like, the way he's doing it and the attention that he's getting is going to make DJs look like fucking cowards.
Honestly. 100%. Yeah, I mean, Dave, do you know who Mark Ribollet is?
Yeah, yeah. I know who
he
is.
He's the guy who does the live looping in his underwear or a robe on Instagram.
Right.
Drinking beers, fucking crushing it.
Bro, first off, he ran the first part of quarantine. Like, people found him, and he became, like, the entertainment for quarantine, so I'll always love him for that. I want to talk to that guy. The third night and the final night at Bonnaroo, prospectively, is Tyler, the Creator, and Lana Del Rey, who I don't know if I'm the only one. I don't get the Lana Del Rey thing. I don't
want to be sad. Stop making me sad.
Yeah, exactly.
It's no offense. Like, I know she makes good music and she works with a lot of really good people. It's just not my bag. And
The people I know that like Lana are like, oh my God, fucking Lana's so amazing. Like, they're like, it's like this whole thing, and you're like, boo hoo, it's sad music.
It just never hit me, dude. I never got into it. But other than that night, who else is there? Lil Baby.
Oliver Tree, man.
Ooh, Oliver Tree, Leon Bridges, Young the Giant, Brittany Howard. That's a good night. Flogging Molly's there. Let's go. Turn up. And Colony House, the band that we're interviewing today.
There
is
you
also
go.
There.
Yep.
Here's a thing about the how I'm not sure how Bonnaroo is going to work, because I've played many festivals, hundreds of them. I've never seen a bigger shit show of pure trash people in my life than I have at Bonnaroo, because we played night three. So it was like the third day of the festival, and there was just people in the gutters just fucking dying. And like just the gnarliest shit. We're stepping over bodies trying to go see Billy Joel and shit.
Bro, I don't know about you, but so I played festivals too. Like, I've done some of the big ones. I have no interest in ever going to a festival.
No, I don't think I'd want to go to this.
I don't have an artist pass. Yeah, fucking
no.
Right.
Yo, that is a life-changing experience when you get that first big festival and you get an artist pass. And you got showers, and you got three square meals, and you're drinking for free all weekend. Holy shit. I just remember, like, seeing kids there covered in glitter and glow sticks and stuff. And I was like, dude, I would not fit in here.
Suffering in the sun, just dying all day. You know what I mean? And you're, like, got a misting tent in the back with free boot. Yeah. You can't go back.
Waking up in the morning and being able to shower at a festival is a magical thing.
Here's the thing, though, because that doesn't always happen. Even at the big ones, you wake up and you have to beat all the other bands to the porta potty so that you can do the roadie shower with the wet wipes. You know what I mean? Yeah. I actually have a video at Bonnaroo of me pouring water bottles over my head, shampooing my hair, fucking ecological disaster vibe.
Dude, so they gave us, like, I'm thinking Firefly. They gave us, like, it looked like porta potties, but it was showers. But the showers were made for people who were like 5'10" and below. I'm 5'10". I was comfortable. Ken, our bass player, is 6'3", 6'4" on a good day. And he's in there like Buddy the Elf, like just splashing. I could see him. He was like looking at me over the top of the shower.
I remember those showers, dude. I've played Firefly. I remember those fucking showers. They're like the trailer showers.
Yep. And then you walk out and they have like, this was the weirdest thing ever, but like sometimes at festivals they have like random things for the artists backstage, and they had a pen of baby goats that you could play with. And so I got out of the shower and went and played with a bunch of baby goats.
Yo,
and went and played my set.
I got a question for you guys. If, like, I'm just trying to take all this in from, like, the artist's perspective and everything. You're telling me that Dave Grohl is going to be, like, showering in one of these, like,
No.
So this is just
the real G's like that fly in to the city about 2 hours before they play, drive up in the Escalade, walk on stage, play straight to the Escalade, straight to the plane, back to home. I did a whole tour with the Rage Against the Machine guys for that Province of Rage tour, and every night they just Escalade pulls up, they walk out, walk to stage, straight from the stage of the Escalade back to the airport.
And so you can tell who's at what point of fame too, because we whenever we do big festivals, we're slumming it. Like, we're lucky to be
there.
And then, like, there's like the big names that aren't flying in quite yet that are on tour and they have their buses. So, like, in the back lot where everybody, like, we have tents and like three SUVs and trailers, they have tour buses. And like that weekend, we got to chill with Alt J for a little while. They were there.
Good dudes, heavy drinkers, love them.
No, they were playing. They were playing. Like, remember when like flipping a water bottle and landing it was like funny for some reason?
Yeah.
They were doing that backstage, and like our photographer Dylan went up and was like, "Dude, this is awesome! Like, who are you guys?" They're like, "Oh, well, Alt J." And
yeah, so, Alt J, like, mate. Well, yeah, then, I played CeeLo with them, dice game, while drinking, cold catering coffee with tequila in it that they called Cafe Sunrise.
Beautiful.
Oh, mate, if you don't have any more drinks, you could just have a Cafe Sunrise. And you're like, oh.
Well, that's hey, I got another question for you guys.
Good.
So I'm looking at this Bonnaroo flyer right now. It's like, I think it's the official flyer that you'd see like on a white post outside, whatever, blah, blah, blah. So you got the Foo Fighters and Megan Thee Stallion and Lizzo and like these big, bright-ass, colorful letters that just pop. Then there's a bunch of smaller, like middle of the pack size bands. Like I've heard of all of them. Incubus is one of them. Phoebe Bridgers, blah, blah, blah. And then you just got all the white name. Like we don't want you guys to see that these people are also here, but we have to include them on the flyer. What were you guys? Were you guys like the white?
Listen, middle? I still am a tiny white name at the bottom. Kenny's been a colored name. Kenny's been
a
fluorescent
name.
So
you got the colored name?
Man, I've headlined festivals, son.
Yeah, I was
going to say. First name at the very top.
Now, see, this is also a good part of this podcast because we have three stages right now, right? So we have Dave, who's perspective. He's getting into the industry. Me, who's on my way up, working my ass off, still a scrub, but working my way up. And then we have Kenny, who's been a highlighter colored name at the top of the... Get out of here. Don't do the downward thing. You've already rocked... You've already rocked the fluorescent names. This is a beautiful
one, man.
This is what this podcast is about. It's not like I always say this, right? When me and Dave were first talking about this, we were talking about The Ringer. I'm going to drop my name, but they have a music podcast that's run by two music critics. No, that's not how we're doing it. This is people who've been through the shit and also someone who is prospectively going to be in the shit. We're giving you the real talk. We're not over here being like, oh, well, I think that this record wasn't as good as the previous three works. No.
Yeah. I can tell you that of all the shows that I've played and everything I've ever done, there's nothing as good as headlining a festival. That is the pinnacle of it.
I mean, that has to be the cool, because you're on after the sun's down. You're not getting the sun beat down on you.
Nights upon us, lights are going on, the fog's moving across. You can hear the fucking 20,000 people out there, and you're the last ones, and that intro music hits, and you're like, fuck you, let's go.
And see, I've never had that. Awesome. I've always, every festival I've ever done, I've been either the morning or early afternoon. I'm thinking like the last festival we did before quarantine was Exponential Festival in Camden, New Jersey. And the headliners that weekend were Elvis Costello, Hozier, Blondie. It was a cool festival. It was really cool. It was right on the waterfront in Camden. And we were like the first set of the festival. And I'm telling you, like, people were still coming in. And it was like 140 degrees. By the end of the set, though, the whole place was filled up and it was on the side of a hill. It was really cool. But I want to get to the point where I can play a festival and it's dark out. That's my goal. There's our Bonnaroo talk. There's our catching up on what happened in the music industry this past week. Let's get into what we're going to talk about before our interviews this week. We think that it's time that we get, like, we've gotten past the first 10 episodes and we're going through our regular segments, but we feel like it's time. You guys have gotten to know us a little bit. Know more about us on a personal level. So what we're going to do here is we put up some polls on our Instagram this week to get some questions from listeners about what they want to know about us. And then we're going to actually ask each other a few questions so we can get to know each other more as friends instead of people that I actually hate. So let's go in on our first question. These are from the fans. The first question, Dave, was directed at you. And it says, Dave, who is the hottest cartoon character?
I mean, they just... butchered her apparently, but Noah Lola Bunny had like sweet perky ass tits.
If I don't want to fuck the rabbit, it's not the right rabbit.
It's no, yeah. I mean,
I love the outrage over Lola Bunny getting remade. We live in a weird society. Yo, hold
a
on,
weird
real quick.
World.
Real quick, fuck, marry, kill. Kenny, hit it. Hit the buzzer.
All right. He's like so, looking around for it.
F, Mary, kill. Lola Bunny, Nala, and the mom from The Incredibles.
Oh, I haven't seen the. I've only
She's
seen
got a banging booty.
She's got a dumpy, dude.
She's got a fucking dumpy. I mean, you gotta fuck the mom for the story, right? Like, yo, dude.
And she's a human.
And she's a human. So I'm gonna kill Lola. even though I think she's the hottest. And then I'm gonna marry Nala. Nala's like ride or die.
All right. Well, that was a really good way to start this segment. I like that. Kenny, we had one personalized for you, which you actually saw on Instagram today. Somebody said, will Kenny send me weed? Kenny, will you send this person weed?
It's really cool that this podcast goes out into the public airways and all that kind of stuff. But yes, I will send you weed.
Oh, yeah. The FBI is on the other line right now watching me through my camera.
They've been watching me for a long time anyway. You know what I mean? Fucking juking them.
I had a question that was based off that one. Do you have a favorite strain of weed?
Yeah, actually, yeah, I do. In the last couple of years, I've come across a new strain. New in the last couple of years. It's called Skittles with a Z. Ooh. It is a hybrid, sativa dominant, tastes and smells like fucking Skittles. Best work creative weed I've ever smoked.
Wow. See, that's when you
know. Raging, brain firing, having a good time, laughing like Skittles. And then there's a bunch of variations of Skittles in there.
Well, we learned something today. This is very informative. Okay, next thing. This one is for all of us. Who would be your dream guest on the podcast?
I've thought about this a lot. I mean, there's so many easy answers. Like, I would say there's nobody outside the realm of possibility right now, aside from a small handful of people that are alive. So you gotta give someone that's dead, right? If it's just a hypothetical question, I would love to interview like Sid Barrett or someone.
Trip.
Yeah. Well, not, I mean, that'd be awesome too, but just get, like, the behind the scenes, like, yo, what the fuck happened? Of Pink Floyd and
hey,
everything.
What happened with your brain, dude?
Yeah, well,
what was that about?
I mean, he's still alive and everything. I think he's still alive, right?
No, Sid Barrett died.
When did Sid Barrett die? Because he was just like living in the like country of Ireland. No, I don't.
Sid Barrett went crazy.
I don't think that.
I'm positive about this. Sid Barrett went to a mental institution.
I'll trust you.
Yeah,
he never heard from ever again, was he?
No.
Yeah. So I didn't know that the mental institution stories were real or anything.
Well, there you go. You learned today. Well, I would like to actually interview him. That'd be interesting. Kenny, do you have anybody?
I like weird brains.
Is there literally anybody on earth who does interviews better than fucking Trump, honestly?
I would interview Trump tomorrow.
You want the ratings coming up?
Bro, that's what I'm talking about. That boy's about all those ratings, and he says the craziest fucking shit, and like, I'm here for it. You know?
And you could fight him on air. You could fight him. You know what I mean?
True.
Like, see, mine is Kanye West would be my dream guest, just to have him yell at me for like in 3 hours.
Rap his entire record to you for 2 hours?
But on a real note right now, the people I'd be most interested in talking to would probably be Killer Mike and LP. I'd like to have those two guys on and talk to Run the Jewels. I think that'd be an amazing interview. I think I'd be very interested.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Killer Mike's so far out there with like all the rad fucking shit, talking to all the fucking political people,
so
and
smart,
like activist
dude.
Shit. Yeah,
yeah, he's
cool.
I like sharp brains like him. He'd be an awesome, awesome interview.
Next question. Kenny, this one's for me and you. What's your favorite guitar that you own?
That one right there. If we're talking about acoustics or electrics, I don't know. But this is a 1965 Epiphone Cortez that I bought in Austin on tour one time. I was in the market for a Gibson LG, like a 60s Gibson Learner guitar. Mm. And I had one in my hand, and I was at the counter checking it out. And Wayne's World, off in the corner was this thing. And I'm like, what is that? Ended up buying this fucking thing. It's beautiful.
Whenever I see an Epiphone acoustic, I think of Paul McCartney. I think of the Beatles. That's what I think about.
I'm into that, man. When I think of Paul McCartney, I think of Hofner basses, baby.
Yeah, 100%. But I'm thinking if I'm like an acoustic guitar that Paul McCartney would play, I know he'd play that. For me,
how much did that guitar cost?
Yeah, what's the price tag on Epiphone?
This one was like 3 G's, kind of. But it's got this really skinny neck on it. I got little Asian hands. And when I picked it up and just played it, it's just like the most beautiful fucking concerto guitar, and nobody has one. I've never seen anybody else with an Epi Cortez. And one day, I knocked my studio chair into this fucking guitar. I was so upset, I almost threw up. I was so fucking sad. I seriously started feeling sick, like I was so bummed on it.
Dude, my favorite guitar that I own is it's like a Sonic Blue Fender American Special Strat. That Fender sent me after it was like a tour, and then we played this big show with Bon Jovi, and I came home and it was sitting on my doorstep when I got home. So that was a cool memory.
That's pretty tight.
That's tight.
Check this out. So
I just have a couple cool ones in here. This one, speaking of Fender, 1964 Duo Sonic. Ooh. Used to be like the Mustang, but it doesn't have the tremolo. Went to a Ma-Pa guitar store in Boise, Idaho. This beautiful thing was sitting on the wall. Bought that fucking thing. Last one, this fucking piece of shit here I bought for $40 at a flea market here in L.A. First thing I did was write a song with a band called Night Riot. Shout out to Night Riot.
I like Night Riot.
Called Nothing Personal. That guitar wrote the song, made it onto the song, and became a top 10 alternative song from a $40 fucking flea market guitar.
Dude, my second favorite guitar that I own is a $200 Takamine full dreadnought, this big, loud, boomy guitar. Big-ass thing, yeah. I got it for $200 used because there's a slight crack in the the shine or like the sheen on top. Didn't care. It's the best sounding guitar that I own. It's not about
guitars. Are magical, man.
They're magical, dude. I've gotten great songs out of the guitar. So those would be our answers. Here's another one. Describe yourself in three words. Think about Dwight Schrute, insatiable, jackhammer. That's the question. Describe yourself in three words. Dave, you go first.
Lazy, uninspired, and doesn't give a shit.
It's not three words.
It's not three words, but it's close. What's a word that just like I don't care?
Lethargic.
Lethargic, but lethargic's more like you're
indifferent,
bad, which I
indifferent.
Am.
Indifferent.
Yeah, I'm
one.
Indifferent. I'm indifferent.
Kenny, what's yours?
Weed. Surfing. Non-cowardly hyphenated.
Oh, that's a good one right there. For myself, I would say crazy. Crazy would be the first one. Insatiable and jackhammer. I think that's a pretty good one right there. It's pretty.
What is Jack like? Are we,
that's
are we making...
that's from The Office. That's an Office quote. But I don't know. Crazy. Hardworking. If I want to go for like a corny one, and then I feel like Philly should be in there because I feel like it just fuck. It is what fuck.
You are very Philly, my friend.
Yeah, I think you've mentioned that you're from Philly. Like
not in a bad way either. You're just the epitome of Philly, and I love Philly, man. I played Made in America.
I like Philly too.
Kenny, real quick, you got to buzz the buzzer. I did it again. Thank you. I appreciate
Thank
that.
You.
Okay, and then final guess from the final question from Instagram. What's your favorite genre of music? This is a tough one.
It's no, not even hard, not even for a second.
What is it,
Straight
Kenny?
Up hip hop. And if you want to go decades, 90s hip hop.
See, Kenny and me are on the same.
Nothing better in the whole world. Everything else comes from it.
I would love to say you're rock and roll because that's what I do. I'm a hip hop historian. It's my favorite.
Rock and
roll's
too white, man.
Facts, big time facts. Even though it comes from blues, which is there is no American music that is white music. We know that. That's a fact.
I mean, Chuck Berry invented rock and roll. You know what I mean?
It comes from blues.
Come from the blues.
But then
yeah.
the white people, fucked it all up, and then Incubus was born.
Dave, what's your favorite genre of music?
I've said this like many times. You'd think I was the biggest like pothead on the planet. No offense, Kenny. Kenny's taking exception to that. If you just went by what my musical taste was, and I like my favorite band, Sublime. I hope we get a chance to talk to him soon. Slightly Stupid is one of my all-time favorite bands. The Expendables, who are going to be interviewing next week or the week after, one of my favorite bands.
You're a reggae guy.
Yeah, reggae rock. Love
reggae.
Marley.
It's actually pronounced reggae.
Reggae? Is it? Are you fucking with me?
No.
I mean, I was like... Man, right, I love blues too, though. Like Southern Louisiana blues, John Mayer style blues. I fucking love it.
You know, it's a close second for me. I guess I'd have to say, now that you're going back into that world, 70s soul.
If you're ever
DJing or you're ever at a party and it's your turn to put on the playlist or whatever it is, you can't go wrong with 70s soul. Curtis Mayfield Funkadelics, like you just can. Everybody will have a great time.
I don't want to say Philly again, but the Philly sound, everything. It can, no, get out of here. No, I'm saying what Gamble and Huff did with everything they did in the 70s. That's why people like Elton John and David Bowie wanted to come to this city to produce like that. So I'm with Kenny on that. So those are our questions from Instagram this week. We're going to do that every once in a while. Before we move into our interview, quick, we are going to ask each other a couple questions to get to know each other better. One specific to each of the other co-hosts and then one general one. I'm going to start with Dave. This is a good question. This is a hypothetical. Dave, would you take an extra $50,000 a year, every year for the rest of your life, but the White Sox could never win a World Series.
Yes, because they never will win another World Series. Like, I already sold my soul for 2005. That's just done and over. Like,
I mean, $50,000 isn't that much money to sell out your franchise forever.
It's not, but I might as well get something out of these assholes.
Do it for less.
Yeah, all I mean, right. Yeah, you got how much you got in your wallet? Oh, I'm, this is a serious question. Open your wallet.
I got a fiver, dude. You want a fiver?
Yeah. $7.
We're in.
All right, so Dave just sold his franchise out. Kenny, I got one for you. Kenny, would you rather own a weed farm and become a weed mogul, a la Seth Rogen, or become the next Max Martin?
Hold on.
As he lights his joint. It's bad radio. Weed mogul?
Weed is forever, man. Bad. Yeah, probably be weed. I mean, it just depends. It's like if you talked to me 10 years ago, maybe it was Max Martin. But now that I've done all the stuff that I've done, I kind of don't care. It's like I just want to grow weed and smoke weed and sell weed and fucking make the world a better place.
All right. Well, that was an easy one there. Last one for me is an easy one. But what did you guys want to be when you grew up? Dave, what did you want to be when you grew up?
I honestly, it's the fucking cheesiest, dumbest and easiest answer. I never wanted to be anything but a baseball player.
I actually,
and then I went and studied sports management and planned on going to law school so I could be like Jerry Maguire when I realized I stunk at baseball. And then I realized that I sucked in school and that like the, if I applied to law school, they'd just be like, LOL, nice try on the rejection letter.
Oh, that's cute.
Like eventually I'm like, well, I'll just be a scout then. And I got offered a scouting job for $22,500. And I'm like, I don't want to be a scout anymore. And then I'm like, oh, I guess I'll write about baseball. And I can hardly spell my name. But here we are. I'm doing it.
Which is why he's known as White Sox Dave. Yeah. He can't spell Williams.
I can't even spell my own name.
Me and Dave actually had the same dream when we were kids because I wanted to be a baseball player. And my dream died when I went to college and played baseball and realized I was a 5'10" white kid. And there was no chance that was happening. Shout out to Joey Wendell, second baseman at Westchester University.
He's a good ball player.
Went on to prove to me that I could no longer play baseball because he was that good.
Yeah, I went to school with Drew Butera. He played for the Chiefs and the fucking Dodgers for a minute.
Yeah. Kenny, what was your childhood dream?
To be a fighter pilot.
That's pretty badass.
So, but I grew up, I'm the only male in my entire family who's not a military pilot. So that's where that comes from. I'm the first one to not be a pilot, not be in the military. I was like, guys, I'm just going to play guitar and move to California. And they're like, you're going to do what?
Well, you are a pilot now, right? You have a pilot.
I am a pilot. I'm a private, cool. private pilot. Yeah, that's pretty, it's pretty tight, man.
That's pretty you got to have some big brains. One of my best friends on the planet, he just moved to Chicago like 6 or 7 weeks ago, back to Chicago, I should say. And he spent the last 10 years in the military. He did ROTC, he had to do. And he went to Notre Dame, was graduated like top of his class in math. And he says that fighter pilots are legit nerds. Like, they're not the Top Gun, badass, Tom Cruise characters you think they are. They're nerds.
They're doing math in real time, heavy math in real time all the time. Yeah.
Yeah. For me, music, like, that. I always played. I've been playing instruments since I was 8. But, like, I knew I wanted – it was always something I did. I always knew I wanted to do it when I stopped playing ball in college. And I was like, all right, this is where I'm going to go for it. This is, like, what I'm supposed to do. So that's how it goes. But, all right, do you guys have any questions?
I got one for you.
What do you got
for it?
Why are you such a cunt?
That's a good question. Hold on.
Was that
can
for
we take a
Kenny?
Moment to can we Both take a moment to appreciate the question?
Man, I don't know. It's in my blood, I guess. It's just the way I was brought up.
I was gonna say it's the way he was raised.
So whenever I get into a confrontation, that's my favorite, and not with a woman. I would never say that to a woman's face, but like if I'm arguing with a guy and it's like a serious, like actual, genuine argument, I'm like, why are you such a cunt?
Dude, I can't say that word. I was traumatized as a kid. I learned that word in grade school and came home and said it to my dad.
And he beat the shit.
No, not my dad. My mom. I remember exactly where I was. My dad walked in from work. I was standing on the second step and my mom was in the kitchen. And my dad walked in and I said, hey, what's up, you? I said the word. And my mom looked at me. She took like 3 steps, planted her feet and went, mop. And I didn't even know what I said. Like, I didn't know what my ears like burn when I hear that word. Cause I just get like shot back in my childhood. So that's a real story. That's really what
God, you'd hate to be in Australia, mate.
Yo, I know. That's where I got it from.
Are you a fucking cunt?
Yeah,
they say it's like a term of endearment.
Weird. Kenny, do you have any questions?
Yeah, okay, I got some questions. I wrote these down because they're kind of important. David.
Yeah. Yo.
Why is baseball so fucking boring?
That's a good question, man. Like,
I know you've gotten that question before. Now, here's the thing. I love going to games.
It's getting
I love
worse.
Going to games. I love eating Dodger dogs and eating nachos. And then every once in a while, you hear the crowd go crazy so that you look up and you're like, oh, my God, something's happening. Outside of that, like, I don't know, man.
I couldn't agree more, man. Baseball games are so much fun, especially if, I don't know, like a hot Saturday afternoon with the boys. You just get shit-faced. It's the best. But watching on TV, it's fucking brutal.
Can I like, step in on this for 1 second?
Right now. Yeah.
Can I be all right? So Kenny, I had this conversation tonight with my sister-in-law's boyfriend.
It's a good question.
Baseball is a thinking man's game. If you are in on baseball,
yeah,
it's more chess than it is sport.
True.
You have to know, all right, there's a runner on second. Is he holding him on? Are they going to bunt him over? You have to think constantly.
I have a buddy who I swear is like has a little bit of Asperger's, biggest baseball fan in the world, but he's obsessed with the numbers.
Yeah.
All the numbers and all the stats and all the numbers. I get all that. Going back to the TV thing, what was it, 2 years ago or something like that, World Series, there was like an 18-inning night. I watched that fucking game until like 5 in the morning. In Chicago. I was in Chicago. Yeah,
that was the Cubs and the Indians. That was an
I fucking watched
game.
That
it
shit.
It was an awesome fucking game.
That was the
I watched the whole. I watched the whole thing. I loved it. I had a
playoff
great time. Then I started going to games.
But like playoff a mundane day game, like I watched Yankees and Blue Jays today, and I was like, this shit is so fucking boring.
It can be.
But, okay, yeah. As boring as it is, I even got into it because my guitar player in AWOL, Drew Stewart. What up, Drew? He's a huge baseball fan, golf fan, sports fan. He like caddies for Michael Jordan, all this shit. But he used to drag me to the minor league games in all the different cities that we would go to just because there'd be a 1 p.m. game somewhere. And you're
that's fucking
I'll
awesome.
Go.
Those games are so much fun, though, because the food's usually bomb.
Yep.
A lot of times they got dollar beer nights so you can just go get wrecked for – and they don't have the seventh inning cutoff rule. And
I would say, though, is there anything better, though, than a live – basketball game. That's just where my brain's going.
No, but you also have to understand, baseball isn't much about being physically dominant as it is strategy. Like, you do have to be physically gifted, but when you watch a basketball game or a football game, you're watching physical dominance on every play, and it's fast-paced and all this. But if you're a baseball guy and you understand, like, everything that goes into it, it's kind of like watching golf in a certain perspective. Golf can be boring.
Who do you think are better athletes, baseball players or basketball players?
Basketball players are better cardiovascular athletes, but as far as like what's harder to
you get brute strength?
Oh, basketball, 100%.
I was going to say baseball for brute strength.
I mean, you got the steroid guys, which are few and far between now. So the hardest thing to do in sports is to hit a pitch.
Straight up.
Like the best players on the planet fail 70 times at hitting a pitch.
Yep.
But a lot of the times those best players aren't athletes by like athletic standards. They couldn't play any other. They just are very gifted.
They wear jewelry while playing sports.
Yeah, it's fucking baller.
One time
I can't stand that. And my team is the worst, most guilty of it.
One time when I was like 9 years old, I peed my pants at the plate. True story. I'm not even fucking kidding.
I would love to see that video. Did anybody rip on you? Like all your teammates?
Nobody even knew until I got in the car. My dad's like, what the fuck is that smell? And it turns out it was me because I pissed my pants on the plate.
All right, Kenny, do you have a question for me?
Yeah, I do. What the fuck is up with Wawa? Why do all these people love Wawa sandwiches? It's a fucking gas station. Granted, I've never had one. But also at the same time, like, grow up a little bit, you know?
It's a special relationship that we have here.
Is it a Philly thing? Because the only person I know that was obsessed with Wawa was from Philly.
Yeah, it's 100% a Philly thing. There's one on every single street corner in Northeast Philly. Our neighborhoods go basically by streets. So Morrell Park, Parkwood, Chalfont, they're all like basically three streets apart. And each of them have their own Wawa. They're everywhere. They're fucking everywhere.
They're like 7-Eleven and people fucking swear by them out there. Like,
oh, yeah. No, trust me. I just had this conversation. It's not good. It's not good. It's convenient. It's there and it's us. So that's why.
Because if you compare it to 7-Eleven, I'm like, that food's awful. The worst.
No, Wawa's better than 7-Eleven, but it's not as good as a normal restaurant. Like, it's just
not as classic as 7-Eleven.
Listen, if you're hammered and you show up to Wawa and you're getting a chicken finger hoagie, you're good. And plus, chicken finger hoagie, bro. All right, yeah. So there's our questions for the week. I feel like we've gotten to know each other a little bit better, guys. This was great. We're gonna go into our interview now with Caleb from Colony House. We're gonna come back, do on the list, off the list, and then go into our pick of the week with the Bluestones.
Yeah! How you feeling?
Fine.
You feel all right?
All
All right, ladies and gentlemen, on the guest list today, we have the frontman for the fabulous Colony House. We have Caleb Chapman here with us today. Caleb, thank you for being here today, brother.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
No problem. We always start off right away with a question, but today I'm actually starting off with a quote.
Okay.
I just got to watch the first part of Everybody is Looking for Some Light, the movie you guys just put out.
Yeah.
And the quote that I took out of it was, being in a band is like being on a Little League baseball team with your best friends, dreaming that one day you're going to make it to the majors, but it's just going to take some time. I don't know that I've ever heard a better quote to describe being a musician on your way up, dude. That you nailed it.
Hey, I was proud of that one. Not going to lie.
Dude, with you know, the grind and the way that it is and coming up as an artist, and you guys have been at it since 2009. I feel like we've been around the same amount of time, right?
Yeah.
Is it crazy to look back on the early days and the grind and the mistakes and everything up into where you guys are today?
Yes. It's crazy. I think the crazy thing about it is, like, it still all feels the same. No matter how much – you have to look back to kind of see where you've come from, right? I think that kind of cliche is there because – so easy to get into the monotony of it all. Mm. And you're like, and it all still feels the same until you look back and you're like, well, remember 10 years ago, it might feel the same, but we were playing here, or we were, you know, driving this many hours for, you know, whatever, whatever the growth is, isn't usually measurable until you take the time to be like, well, we have come pretty far. Guys, let's remember that.
Bro, so. There's no moment like when you're with your boys in the band and you're just like sitting back drinking a beer and you're like, yo, do you remember that crappy show we played in like Lexington, Kentucky to three people? And now we're out here selling out shows. It's amazing. Yeah. And I think, too, that quote was perfect because Dave's a baseball guy. So that like linked it perfectly, bro. It linked it perfectly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anytime you can use any sports analogy for anything in life, not just music, just anything in life, that like it helps. You know, like Colin, we were talking prior to the show, it's like gives a good summation to me. And as soon as you said that, I was like, that makes a lot of sense. Like, because I mean, there was times when I was growing up playing baseball and I played through college and everything that like I wanted to absolutely kill my teammates. Yeah. But right after the game, we were, you know, hugging it out and going crazy over a win or wanted to beat each other's faces in because of the loss. I'm sure behind the scenes for every band ever, it's the exact same thing. So I'll ask you, what is like, I mean, like, that's a brotherhood. That's your band right there. It's four of you guys. Like, what's the most pissed off you've ever gotten at one of your bandmates? Or, and what's, like, the most, like, on the top of the mountain? You're like, we fucking did this. Like, you're cracking beers just around a campfire. Like, holy shit, we're here.
Yeah. So my actual brother is in the band as well. So that is awesome most of the time.
Early on,
me and my brother – would have, you know, like one night we got home, we did like four shows. It was a short little run. They were all pretty close to Nashville, but they were all like overnight drives. We were like playing a show, then we'd get in the van, drive to like 3 or 4 in the morning, play the next show. And we did that for like 4 days, just busting them out. And then we drove home and got home at like 3 or 4 in the morning. I'll try to make it this story brief, but pretty much Will's car wouldn't start when we got home. Everyone was tired. And my brother was like, hey, let me take the van. And for whatever reason, this is totally my fault, but I was just like, no, you're not going to take the van. You should take care of your car so this doesn't happen. You're going to take the van. You're going to drive it till it's empty. And then you'll bring it back. And then you'll fix your car. And then the van will have to fill up the tank, you know? And it was just one of those, like, it was stupid. I should have just been like, hey, yeah, sure. Take the van. Just bring it back and fix your car tomorrow. But we were all tired. And it escalated so quick where we're calling each other a bunch of things. And and it got to the point where I pulled off, leaving him in the dust, and he like screamed something I won't repeat it because I don't want to paint my brother in that light, but it pissed me off. And I got out of the car, and I got out of the car so quick I forgot to put it in park. So my car started rolling backwards, and I was like, then my brother's like, you're an idiot, your car's gonna roll up. And so I jumped back in my car, put it in park, and then we had it out on the concrete, just like throwing fists. Like, it was the closest we'd gotten to like sending each other to the hospital. It was just like, we got to the point where we were both headlocking each other and we're like, what are we doing? It's
brothers, morning. Bro. Brothers.
We're going to kill each other. that was kind of this breaking point where I drove off. I was crying. He was crying. And I drove back. And the funniest thing is I drove back, didn't say a word. And I was like, let's look at your car. And so I helped him, you know, 4 a.m, looking at his car. And I was like, let's just try starting again. We get in the car. And of course, it cranks right up.
Right up. Did so, he have to get mom and dad involved?
No, nearly did. But it was a pretty, like, it's a funny story, but it was actually a pretty brutal, like, awakening of, like, this is not worth that. Mm-hmm. You know, like, and I think that was a breaking point for me and him to just be like, hey, if it's going to get that intense, we know plenty of brothers in bands that don't talk to each other anymore. Yeah, like, that was never worth it to us. So we kind of, that was several years ago now, but figured out, like, if it ever gets there and like kind of crosses the threshold, we're just going to leave this behind. Not worth it.
I mean, dude, it's the post-drive delirium. I remember one of our first runs back, we were on the way back from Nashville and we all had all the gear in one like RV.
Yeah.
And I remember our drummer at the time was super pissed off. He just wanted to get home and we were all asleep. And instead of taking the RV to where we were all going to unload, he just drove right to his house and unloaded all his shit and just left the RV. So we were all like, I'm going to fucking kill you. Like there's no feeling like that.
Yeah.
So what's the most on top of the world moment you guys have had?
Let's see. Okay. So this one's pretty recent. In October, when we finished that film, we in the middle of the pandemic, no one was playing shows. We decided we're going to put on a drive-in movie and then play a concert after, invite everyone to come to our hometown. And we were like, I don't know how this will go, but when we put it on sale, it sold out immediately. And so we put another one on sale. And that one pretty much sold out. So we ended up doing two of these massive drive-in shows where all of our fans came from all over the country. And we were able to like premiere the film on this huge screen. We played this epic show with, you know, like more production than we've ever had. I mean, I think it was like a 40-foot screen. It was huge. And then it was just one of those, like, it felt like we defied the odds a little bit. Like we shouldn't have been the band to be able to pull that off. I mean, it was like, it's one of those shows that if it fell through, I mean, we'd be like in big trouble. Yeah. There's a lot of cash on the line.
And
it was just like, but we felt not only that it was important for ourselves and like to continue to create, but like it, when we played that show, it just felt like a sigh of relief. Everyone was like, mm-hmm. okay, maybe it's going to be okay. You know?
Yeah. And so with the movie, right?
Yeah.
Did you guys have that pre-planned that you were doing this movie before the pandemic?
No.
you pivoted and you said, okay, we can't play shows. We need content. We're just going to drop this.
Yeah, totally. And it was just going to be like a few videos, like, oh, it'd be cool to show them behind the scenes stuff. And as I started editing it together, I like realized, I think there's actually a cool story here about like pretty much when life hands you lemons, what are you going to do with it? You know? And it turned into this feature length film and was just kind of a special we definitely created it for our fans, but we've had people that know nothing about the band say really kind things about it, and it was just like it was kind of our question, like the question that was posed to the entire world in March or April of 2020, like, hey, what are you going to do now?
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Like that was our, that film was our answer.
We've talked to a ton of different musicians. Corey Wong, he started a podcast and he's got his video series, Wong Notes. Chris Shiflett, he's kind of more laid back. He's like, I don't know. He's a Foo Fighter though. He doesn't need to care. He doesn't really need to care, but everybody uses the same word. Everybody uses the word pivot and they're like, what are we going to do? We need to make money too. And we can't do that just, you know, touring because you're not allowed to and it's not safe. And totally. you guys coming up with this idea, like, hey, we'll throw a drive-in movie there. You can be socially distant. That's an awesome fucking idea.
Yeah.
Like, have you guys thought about doing that more into the summer? I know it's, you know, it's hopefully dying down the pandemic.
Yeah.
With the vaccine rollout. But what are you guys planning on moving forward as Corona still does exist in our everyday life?
Totally. We've thought about it. It's pretty daunting, like trying to catch lightning in a bottle, you know, like it was a real special moment. And we've planned out like, well, what if we invited other artists and did like almost drive-in festival? We haven't like totally hung that up yet. Like we're still thinking about it. We've been like in the studio a lot more, trying to be ahead of it so that when, you know, touring does come back, we're ready to like drop new music. That's been our biggest focus right now, is just like, hey, let's just go ahead. It's a little quicker than we would get back in the studio normally, because we're just touring right. band. We like touring. But so that's kind of been our focus right now. So slowly we've done, like colleges are starting to do like outdoor shows and like everyone's like dipping their toe in the water. Yeah. It's tricky. It's tricky because you don't want to be those guys that like.
Yeah.
You don't want to be the Chase Rice who throws a right. show way too fast, and then all of a sudden totally. You're the subject of online ire. Well, you do have one big show you already booked. Obviously, Bonnaroo's lineup just came out.
Yeah.
We talked about that at the beginning of this episode. First off, the day you guys are supposed to play, hell of a lineup. Hell of a lineup.
Pretty dope.
Is there a part of you got like within the band that's looking at it and you're like, oh my God, we have this huge date on our books. Is there a part of you that's like, God, I hope this actually happens?
Well, I don't think so. Not that it shouldn't be that. Like, I feel like we should feel that way, but we were supposed to play it last year and it kind of got carried over to this year. So maybe it just feels like, well, if it doesn't happen this year, maybe they'll just push us.
Just slide it back for a third straight year.
We have
another our pick of the week this week is Tarek from the band The Bluestones, awesome band out of Canada. And one of my questions to him is something I've been talking with the band a lot about. You guys are a big touring band, and we all have that feeling when we go on the road of like, God, I hope people show up when we go to these cities that we're not from.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, dude.
That feeling for me is intensifying as shows come back because I haven't done it in a year. Are you having any anxiety of like returning to shows and being like, I don't remember how to do this in a certain perspective?
I feel not totally. I feel like the anxiety is like, you know, like the prep that goes into tour. That's what I'm kind of already feeling anxious about. As far as like, for me, if people don't show up, at least we have a pretty good excuse this time. Like, they must have
that's true.
They must have just been scared, you know. Like, 100%. You know. So usually it's like, sorry, I don't know. I don't know why people.
It was an off night. It's a Tuesday. I don't know.
Exactly. This time we can at least write it off. We can. There's a good scapegoat out there. So, but yeah, I mean, getting into the swing of things again, like, kind of repositioning yourself to leave home, leave your family, all that stuff. That is the daunting part.
I see the ring on your finger, and I've had this conversation with a couple different musicians that I've had on the podcast. But how's it been for your wife to be at home and you being at home? Is she enjoying it? And is she at the point yet where she wants you to get the fuck out of the house?
Depends on what day it is. I think more than not, she's pretty pumped to have us home. We're all married, so all of our wives are excited to have us home. But we just spent a week in the studio in Oklahoma, and that was like dipping our toe back in the water. Yep. Like, hey, remember, you do like me because when I'm gone, it's a little harder, right?
Yeah.
And and that was the case. So we're still healthy over here.
Bro, we have because we're usually in our rehearsal space like 2-3 nights a week. And then I remember when I first started going back to the rehearsal space with the band, once we started to get more of a clearance, my wife being like, dude, I hope this isn't like a regular thing all the time. And I'm like, this is what I do. I don't know what you're talking about. This is what I do.
Totally, man.
On the note of kind of 2020, and we're getting back to normal a little bit. Well, what do you think the most important thing you've learned in the past year was?
Ooh, man, that's a great question. Most important thing. Yeah. Okay. From just a logistical like business place, I think it's been a great time to reassess like what is necessity and what is just kind of the rhythm that we got into, whether or not we needed to or not. I think for us, it was like you write and record an album and then you go and tour that thing for like 2-3 until it's in the ground, till everyone wants something new. And I think it's been nice reassessing, like, hey, we're kind of surviving this right now. And not only are we surviving, like, there's elements of our business that are thriving. So do we have to go play 200 shows a year? Maybe not. Maybe that's changing. And, or do, like, with doing this drive-in show, like, we really were able to put on something that, like, was next level. Is there something to, like, you know, doing less but at a higher, you know, quality? I don't know. So there's been a lot of, like, reassessing the business that has been, like, learning a lot about, like, what you're worth, you know, where you, how you create better, how you create worse, all that stuff. From a personal standpoint, I think, man, I don't know, just, like, not making decisions on because you're afraid of something, like, not letting that be the reason. Like, I find myself like, oh, I don't know if we should do that because I'm afraid that. That's usually where I'm like, well, let's not make the decision yet. If it's because we're afraid that something might happen, we're afraid that, you know, fill in the blank. You can be afraid of a lot these days.
This is a very fear-based industry. A lot of fear goes into this, but it's totally. I've had that conversation a lot of, we will not do things based on fear because that is generally how we wind up making decisions. So that's actually those are both really, really great answers, dude. You thought of that on your feet. I like that.
I'm just throwing it out there. Doesn't mean that there's a lot of uncertainty here ahead. And I think that's why we're trying to position ourselves like, man, everyone's coming at all of this from a different angle. And we really try to respect that with how we operate as a band personally, but you're also gonna kind of rock the boat at some, someone's not gonna like what you're doing because they think you shouldn't even be out of your house yet.
Yeah.
Or someone thinks, you know, the other person could be like, why are you even wearing a mask? It's, you know, it's like, you've got both people. And if we, you know, we say both people are welcome, you know, both people should be able to listen to our music. Yeah. How do you handle that?
I'll be honest, dude. I think about that kind of stuff all the time. And I think working with Kenny and Dave, you guys are both very, like, I don't know if the word fearless as I want to use, but I'm getting out of my own head a little bit. And I think that's very important. But there is one thing in that you said, and it's eliminating certain things and doing things different ways. And Dave, I wanted to bring this up because you're talking about the drive-in movies. I think we should take the podcast when we go back on tour. We should do a podcast live and also play a show. Some sort of super thing going on. Let's go. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Dude, so looking at everything, we always do this one segment on the podcast called What the Fuck Have You Been Listening To?
Okay.
So recently, what is it that you and the guys in the band have been listening to?
Yeah. Well, we've always been big Kings of Leon fans.
Oh, yeah.
That makes a lot of sense.
So their new album, we love. It's great. We kind of love anything. They can't really do anything wrong for us. So we've been listening to that a lot. So this producer we're working with the last week works with this band out of Oklahoma called Broncho. And they're like this kind of like punk, I don't know, just kind of cool understated rock band. And they've done some cool tours, and I've always been a fan, but after working with this producer, I went back and listened to their stuff a little bit. And I think it's rad. It's just a fun listen, like nice, like background, like you can listen to it for days, you know?
Hell yeah.
Anything
weird, anything like, what's a guilty pleasure?
Ooh. What would be a guilty pleasure for a recent guilty pleasure? And I don't know.
Bumping the new Bieber record or anything like that?
Hey, you know, I haven't bumped the whole thing, but one of those songs, I don't know what it's called. If it's not me,
is it that Peaches song? Because that Peaches song is everywhere, bro.
No, it's not that. It was one that came out. It's off that album. But there's some stuff on that for sure. I don't really have guilty pleasures because it's like if I like it, I like it.
If you like it, like it.
I don't feel too much guilt. I honestly just don't listen to a ton of music. It's weird. I feel like my drives are usually, that's where I usually do most of my thinking. So it's usually quiet. I listen to music when I'm mowing.
Cutting the grass, doing everyday shit like us bums. Yeah.
I think it's funny. I think it's funny when I'm mowing my lawn and people like see me with my headphones in and I have high white socks on. They probably think I'm listening to like country or some shit, and I'm just listening to Young Thug or like Future in the out there cutting my lawn.
I talk to myself when I cut the grass.
You probably do talk to yourself while you cut the grass.
Like I'll catch myself like talking to myself because for some reason, even though there's a loud ass motor going right 2 feet from you, and it's just like so obnoxious, I'll find myself talking to myself.
Yeah, you probably look real normal, bro.
I got a question for you, and I've so Kenny Carkeet of formerly of AWOL Nation does this show with us, and he's not here today, obviously, but. He's got such a fuck you attitude, and he like the first day he joined with us, he was talking about how he just like he doesn't give a fuck, he doesn't give a shit about anything, and he's like talking about like, dude, this song fucking sucks. It's the same shit you hear over, and he's not talking about like a particular song. He's just talking about how it's like everything's so cliche nowadays, and I always kind of thought so. But what like what do you look for in just any given song that either you're like, I love this song, or this song fucking blows?
I think that if I'm a Nashville boy, like I love a good story in a song. So if you can tell me a story, I don't care who you are telling me the story. If you got my attention, I'm in. Like you've won me over. So whether that's like old, like Glenn Campbell, you know, like talking, just writing about whatever, or if it's Justin Bieber, like if you tell me a good story, I'll listen. The stuff to me that I'm just like, I can roll my eyes at and just be like, come on. I think it's just, it's the songs that feel like they're capitalizing on like a certain time frame.
Yeah,
like,
100%, bro, 100%.
Like, I don't know. I don't have any specific examples, but it's where it's like, man, if we write this type of song right now, we can get it out.
Yep.
Where you can tell there's like, it just feels slimy, you know? Yeah. Like,
I'm glad to hear somebody else say that, because I've been saying that a ton. And it's even like, okay, so right now this song is really popular on TikTok. If we make something sound kind of like this, we might, you know, get in the algorithm. It's like, totally. Dude, where is your freaking soul?
Yeah.
Where is your authenticity? That kills me. Do you ever spend any time writing on music row? You ever get into the game and write with any of the country singers?
I've done a few co-writes, and I'll go ahead and say like, it can be either the best. It can be the coolest experience when you're with like a true G who's like been there for years and like knows how to churn out songs, but they're like next level. That's when it's like, oh my gosh, there is a craft to this. And this person has perfected it. I've sat in those rights, and I've also sat in them where it's like, you know, they're just going after the moment. Like, hey, if, you know, movies want to hear the word legends. We should write a song with the word legends, you know, or something like that, where you're just like, all right. And I'm pretty like, go with the kind of guy. I'll just, in my head, I'm like, well, hey, I'll write you a song about legends, and then I'll get out of here and I'll go show my band. And be
well,
like,
here's the thing, yo. So it's like you're in the room. You're like, I'll go with the flow, and then you wind up at Three Crow or Red Door East after that, and you're like, dude, you won't believe what this fucking dude is.
Exactly. About. Totally.
So I've spent a lot of time writing. I write for CSAC, so I go down there. I do the row thing, and
yeah.
There's always the rights, because you meet some really good friends doing that, but then there's also rights where it's like a half an hour in and the guy is just there to fill time, and he's like, you want to go to Bar Taco and get hammered? It's like, no, I'm down here to write, bro.
Yeah, we're working, pal. Like, no, I'd rather just go home and write my own song and don't waste my time. Yeah. Oh yeah. I've dipped my toe in it. I think I've said dip my toe like 3 times so far. So
I said
just
fuck 80 times. So we're kind of on the same
page. Yeah, we have a like shot collar like a dog. We're going
to
get
on. Actually, on this episode, Kenny has a buzzer because I'm trying to say the word less. And every time I say it, he buzzes me. So I'm just going to have to add him in after.
Nice, dude. anyways, I've kind of like, I have reserved that space kind of for like the off season, more or less, where it's like, okay, you know, if I'm just kind of hanging out and it's kind of the off season, I'll go do like, you know, fill a week for me. And, and kind of, it's good learning experience.
You know, as we're wrapping this up and we've talked about Tennessee a lot, Are you a Titans Preds guy? Or are you like a U of T guy? Or you who? What's your squad down there?
Titans. I went to like when I was a kid. I was at like all the Titans games when they were. I think when they first came, they were still the Oilers.
Yeah, they were.
And so I mean, I remember being at an Oilers game when they were still playing in the Vanderbilt Stadium. Wow. And the lights went out in the middle of the game. It was like, is this really a pro team?
Shouts out Hillsborough Village.
That's right, man. And then like we actually went to the Super Bowl where the Titans played the Rams. Oh, so wow. Like we were pretty big fans.
How old were you for that?
Gosh, what year was that?
That was like 99, 2000.
Yeah, 99. That was it. You're right. So I would have been 10, 11.
Yeah.
So prime, just
scarred for life watching Kevin Dyson reaching out for the goal line, bro.
Knows he's down, but he's still trying to reach across.
I know. Yeah. It was beautiful, though. Like, how epic of it's an iconic Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But now I know you're a Tennessee guy because we talked about this last week on the podcast. We talked about this.
Okay.
If that was in Philly, and I'm from Philadelphia, if it was in Philly and I went to a Super Bowl, and Terrell Owens reaches out his hand and misses the goal, I would never have anything positive to say. You went, man, that was beautiful. I would have been like, never talk about that to me again. Because I was saying I went to a Preds game when I was down there writing. And we lost in overtime. And everybody was so – they were like consoling me as I walked out of the stadium. They were like, man, you guys played a great game. And I was like, don't even do that. Just be mean to me. You guys in Tennessee are too nice, bro.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, we're all looking for poetry and everything. It's like, yeah, it was poetic, man.
That's the most honest thing I've ever heard. Dude, Caleb, this has been outstanding, man. We really appreciate the time.
Yeah, dude. Thank you.
So I know you just had the movie come out, and I know you guys are working on new music. Do you expect to drop something soon just to piggyback off what you've just released, or are you going to take your time?
Sooner than you might expect.
Mm. All right, we'll put that out in the world, brother. Dave, anything else you got, man?
No, just keep doing what you guys do. You guys got a good thing going, and I'm looking forward to hopefully putting this pandemic behind us so I can see you guys live.
Yeah, dude.
Eventually. Get your asses up Chicago with Foxtrot, and
yeah, dude.
We'll join something.
We'll blow something up for you, bro.
Let's do it.
Caleb, thank you very much, my man. All right, so that was our interview with Caleb from Colony House. If you're going to Bonnaroo this year, make sure you stop by on Sunday and see Colony House. Great guys, great music. Check their stuff out on Spotify. Before we get into our interview with the Bluestones, let's go into On the List, Off the List. My On the List this week is important because I think it was a moment in history in sports. My On the List is Paul Pierce. I don't know if anybody saw what just happened over the last 24 hours of Paul Pierce. Kenny, Dave, did you see this?
No, but I love Paul Pierce.
Okay, so Paul Pierce, I can't believe nobody saw this, went on Instagram Live at his house, just looking absolutely fried, with a bunch of strippers and a bunch of his friends.
Oh, yeah, I saw it.
And one of the best things I saw, somebody tweeted and said he looks like Slurms McKenzie from, if you ever watch Futurama, the character, the alien character who was supposed to be like Spuds McKenzie. He just looked fried and tired. He just looked like he had partied himself out, but he was like smoking swishers like on the live.
It wasn't a swisher he was smoking there.
No, I know. It was a swisher blunt. But like, yo, the memes in response to Paul Pierce going live with a bunch of strippers at his house were outstanding. So shout out to Paul Pierce. I hate him for being a Celtic, but that was amazing.
Yeah,
so
I fucking hate the Celtics, but I love Paul Pierce. What do you want me to do?
There's nothing worse to me than when
Austin Sports?
Boston,
I like nuke it till it glows the entire fucking city. is when you like something that a player on a team that you hate, they do something that makes you go like, oh, I like this guy because I love
hating.
Don't make me like him. Yeah.
I keep talking about t-shirts. Don't make me like them has to be Kenny's t-shirt. That is Kenny's catchphrase. 150%.
It's pretty accurate. Don't for a lot of scenarios.
Like Dave, who's on your list?
All right, on my list is very near and dear to my heart. I was going to go an athlete too, so you kind of threw me because I like to be like outside the box. But I did horchata last week. I had some more horchata today. Know what I'll go with? I'll go with nicotine. Nicotine's the shit, and that is a fucking fact. There's nothing nicotine, better dude. Than nicotine. So nicotine, you can play on my team any
God
fucking
bless
day.
It.
You get
most people don't know that nicotine's actually good for you. It's a weird thing that most people don't know.
You know, who would know better than the good people at the American tobacco industry?
100%. They know. Like, obviously, they look how much money they're making.
Yeah. I mean, why would they don't? If you're dead or if you're unhealthy and you quit using nicotine, you're not spending money on them.
100%. It's just logic, really.
Yeah.
There is nothing like a nice, like a nice nicotine shot after a night of drinking. It just sends you to
it's the best.
Place. It's a wonderful
it's
place.
It's the absolute best. Nicotine. What a fucking guy.
That's a good one right there, Dave. I like that. Kenny, who's on your list?
On my list tonight is Nicolas Cage. I recently went through like Con Air, National Treasure, Raising Arizona, The Rock, fucking Face Off. Like, come on, man. He may be a fuckface now, but like, string of 90s
I wish I could be Nicolas Cage. He's the coolest human being of all time.
Nicolas Cage, yo, great story from my childhood. I was on a field trip and they were shooting National Treasure at the Ben Franklin Institute in Center City. And they were like, everybody needs to steer clear here. And I saw Nicolas Cage walking down the stairs as they were filming him walking down the stairs. That really happened.
Did you like, I mean, did you like piss yourself? Did you cum yourself? Did you like, did your knee shake?
I was eight, so I don't know. Probably like a mixture of both.
There is maybe no better actor in the history of acting.
There might not be a better human.
I don't think there is a better human. He is like you were talking about National Treasure. I just watched that stupid fucking what's it called movie the other night? The Tom Hanks movie, the Holy Grail movie.
Oh, the Da Vinci Code.
I just watched that the other night and. Like I think that he might be the last line of Jesus's blood or whatever. Nicolas Cage.
Yeah, also, could you imagine how much better the Da Vinci Code would have been if Nicolas Cage played Tom Hanks's part?
Exactly.
What movie wouldn't be made better by Nicolas Cage swapping out the lead role?
Like I wish he would have painted Kate Winslet's tits in Titanic.
Like imagine Nicolas Cage playing Denzel Washington's part in Training Day. It would have been amazing.
Perfect. It would have been perfect. Would have matched made in heaven.
Well, that's another. Like,
anything Daniel Day-Lewis is in, just put Nicolas Cage in there.
The Phantom Thread with Nicolas Cage. You kidding me?
There will be blood with Nicolas Cage.
There will be blood with Nicolas Cage.
No, I got an even better idea. He should just do what Mike Myers does in the Austin Powers movie: play every single fucking character.
Yeah.
He needs to be in a Marvel movie. He needs to be like a major superhero, like a big time superhero. But just be Nicolas Cage. Like, be Captain America, but just be Nicolas Cage. I would love that. That's a good one. All right, so off my list is Spotify. For a very specific reason, I hate the fact that Spotify doesn't have classic old mixtapes on their streaming services because artists can't clear the samples. They have to stay on DatPiff or SoundCloud or something like that. I was working out today, and all I wanted to do was listen to The Drought 3 by Lil Wayne, and it's not on there because he can't clear samples. Nut up, Spotify. And put old mixtapes on there. I want Action Bronson. I want the Blue Chip series on there. I also
pay your fucking artists.
Yeah, well, that's obvious. Yeah, pay your artists is probably a big thing.
Fuck
me and Kenny sit here.
Like, pay us a penny per stream, you fucking weirdos.
Do you realize how funny it is that we're arguing over a penny? Like, that's nuts.
A penny. It's right now. It's 0.0043 per stream. Fuck you.
How do they get away with that? Why don't
because
more people?
Because they can do whatever they want. Because streaming is God now. You know what I mean?
We got sold out by major labels, is what I will say. That's a fact. We got sold.
Yeah. Well, Spotify also almost single-handedly destroyed the label industry.
Good.
So good for them, but also fuck them.
Fuck them both. Damn it! Hit the buzzer, Kenny. God damn it. Okay, Dave. Who's off your list?
Off my list is a building shit. So I built a dresser yesterday, and it was the worst fucking day of my entire life. Like, I wouldn't wish that on my worst enemy. I wouldn't wish it on, like Mussolini. I wouldn't
wish it.
Be awesome.
Just in terrorist camps, they're making them assemble IKEA shit.
Like, I guarantee you, if we went to Guantanamo, like, the three of us, and we were, like, flies on the wall, they're making fucking terrorists from, like,
yeah, there's just missing
Al-Qaeda.
Parts and shit.
Missing parts. You can't find the nails. You got to get the screwdriver, and you have the wrong fucking head.
Yeah, everybody in Guantanamo Bay is given a dresser to assemble with no Allen key. They're just like, figure it out.
It's the worst fucking thing on a planet.
And the Kuzma looks great in this corner.
Yo, I'm actually on your side with this, Dave. I actually had a situation. We live in an old row home, and the walls are basically like rock. But underneath them, you get through the rock when you drill through to hang curtains or something, and behind it is brick. So I actually had one of my tall curtains in my living room just fall out of the wall this weekend. And I'm trying to rehang it. I had to spackle, paint, and then rehang it. And I can't shoot into it because behind is just straight brick. So now I have no curtains in my living room because we can't hang them back up.
Now, obviously, I wouldn't hang them back up. I'd be like, oh, that's just casualty of my everyday war.
Well,
like,
try to explain that to your wife. Go ahead. That's a fun one. Yeah.
Do you want me to explain it? Like, sorry, honey.
Yeah, no, Dana would
like,
just...
I would have to screw a new curtain into the wall, and that is just out of the question. So, no,
don't be stupid.
I won't. Oh, yeah, don't be dumb. Yeah. Use your fucking
don't
brain.
Don't be fucking stupid.
Yeah.
All right, use your brain is definitely Dave's catchphrase, too, by the way. I was going to say the F word, but I didn't this time.
Why are you a cunt?
Kenny was off your list.
That's from a Jim Jefferies stand-up routine. I don't know if you guys know he's this strategy.
I love Jim Jefferies.
Yeah.
Absolutely hilarious. And he was getting in a fight with some dude in one of the routines, and he's just like, every time I do that, I just look at him and go, dead face, why are you – and he's Australian, and I'm not going to try the accent, but why are you such a cunt?
Who's your favorite current stand-up?
I mean, Jim Jefferies, this isn't a new one. This is years old now, but Alka Holocaust is the funniest stand-up routine I've ever seen.
Who's yours, Kenny?
There's no one funnier than Chappelle.
Oh, Chappelle's
no one. There's no one less cowardly than Chappelle. Like when he got the fucking award for the comedy at the fucking Kennedy Center, he's just out there smoking, and he goes, yep. "You know who I asked if I could smoke? Nobody. I just fucking did it." You're like, "Bless you, my man."
Chappelle is by far my favorite stand-up all time. He's the most important in the last like 20 years. But I've recently been on a big Bill Burr kick.
Same, guys, bro.
Are so
he was
smart.
Going off about golfers the other day and how not athletic they are. And he's like, look at these fucking clothes. These are the most comfortable clothes I've ever worn in my life. You can't play sports in comfortable clothes.
Like I love Joe Rogan's podcast, but I don't like his stand up that much.
Same. I don't think he's that funny of a stand up, but I love his podcast. He's
a great
interviewer.
Conversationalist. Exactly.
Yeah. He's great.
He's
the
just
best
always
ever,
screaming
maybe.
At me. Stop screaming at me. Why are you always screaming? Stop screaming.
I'm dying for like a new stand up that I find and I'm like laughing at. It's
Eliza Schlesinger.
No, I've heard good things. I haven't watched it yet.
Nikki, whatever the fuck her name
Nikki
is.
Nikki Glaser.
Yeah, you know what's great? If you just go on YouTube and you look up like best of the roasts, the Comedy Central roast,
you'll find some.
Those are
that's a good time
funny.
Right
yeah.
there. That's a good time right there.
My favorite one ever was the roast of William Shatner. Yeah. I'll watch it like once a year, and I'll be getting an ab workout, and I hate doing workouts
because
you're lifting heavy stuff. It's like the few times a year I actually work out my abs. It's just by laughing at the Comedy Central roast.
Not even going to lie. I don't think Pete Davidson is that funny on Saturday Night Live, but his most recent stand-up was actually really good. I actually like him a lot.
His movie was good, too. That King of Staten Island movie?
Haven't seen it yet. I heard it was good, though. Was and Bill really Burr's good. In that. We tied it back.
Yeah.
He's a Staten Island guy, yeah. I heard that's an excellent movie. Haven't seen it yet.
Great movie.
Shouts out to Judd Apatow. Kenny, who's off your list?
Off my list today. Dave, you may appreciate this one. You may not. I don't know. Fucking Rapoport, man.
I was gonna take fucking Kevin Durant. I was gonna take Kevin Durant for that, and I was like, he just went athlete. I'll pivot to something different.
I like Rapoport, and I like watching him talk shit and all that stuff.
He's a fucking shit.
Right, but at the same time, like blasting off pictures of DMs is just a cowardly fucking move. It's not that good. And then he never really like Durant won hard on that. I don't know. I'm just kind of real sick of Rappaport. So he's fucking off the list, man.
He's been off my list since he got fired from Barstool because he used to come on Pardon My Take all the time, and it got old after a while because it's like they started to dislike him, and then he got fired. And then it sucks because my wife watches Bravo all the time, and he's always on those after shows and stuff like that. And every time he comes on, I'm like, this fucking piece of shit.
I'm down to watch him like talk shit about pedestrians walking in the crosswalk from his New York apartment. Like, that's funny as fuck, but like. Yeah, man, I was just that wasn't a good look this week.
Kenny, he's
just such a loser, dude. He's 100%. A loser.
Kenny, before we get off, you have to buzz the buzzer one more time. I did it again. I'm gonna be honest. That was only five. I think I only did five this episode. So
you can go back and count.
I'm gonna try. It's gonna come out sometimes. Like if I get fired up about something, but
that's
I wanted
fine.
To see.
Yeah.
It's like if you wanted to see if you could stop drinking for a weekend. You just want to see if you can do it. You know what I mean? So
and the answer is always no.
Exactly. Yeah. Why do I need to do that? I already know what the answer is.
There you go. All right. So that's this week's episode. By the way, Dave hit me up this week. We are going multiple times a week on the guitar. That content's about to get. Kenny, you're now responsible to help us try and fix Dave.
Fix Dave. That's a whole new podcast.
Oh, man. Yeah. So
I need a lot to fix. This is like this we're going like ground number up, bro. Two.
Just little chunks at a time, baby. Little chunks at a time.
Dude, by the time you're 80, you're going to be an ideal citizen, bro. So that is our episode for the week. We'll be back next week. We have a ton of interviews this week, so we'll be getting some backlogged. Thank you to Caleb from Colony House. Before we get out of here, let's go into our pick of the week with the Bluestones. All right, ladies and gentlemen, our pick of the week this week. Actually, a returning guest from the old incarnation of the podcast. We have Tarek from the Bluestones. Tarek, how the hell are you, buddy?
What's up, Colin? Thanks for having me back.
I'm happy to have you here, dude. First off, just dropped an album. Hidden Gems came out March 19th?
Yep.
What a road to get here, because I remember the last time we were talking. It's funny, because the last time we talked, we really didn't have either of us an idea about where what we were doing, because the circumstances were so fucking crazy.
Yeah, it was really just up in the air. I think we plan on releasing this album in July of 2020, but obviously, you know, it didn't really happen because of everything shutting down. And you can only wait so long to release something like that until you're like, you know what, let's just get this music out to the world. So finally, you know, both us and our label settled on the date of March 19th, which has now passed, but that I'm very happy about.
Dude, honestly, because a few of these songs I had heard through singles. You guys released a few singles beforehand.
Yep.
My personal favorite off the album, this actually shows you that I did listen to it, L.A. Afterlife, which I feel like is almost a little bit of an outlier on the record.
Yeah.
Very smooth.
I would agree. It's definitely not like, you know, your typical Bluestones or like rock and roll sort of vibe. But that is definitely like the type of music that we listen to, you know? So it's just nice that that's come out in like a really cool swaggy kind of song like that.
Swaggy is a perfect word for it, dude. It's swaggy as fuck. That's a perfect way to put it.
That's how I felt recording it. I was like, ooh, yeah, it's nice.
Dude, by the way, did I see you guys had billboards for Spotify in Toronto?
Yeah.
What the fuck, dude?
I know. I was shocked myself, honestly.
Oh, you didn't know that was happening?
No, I had no idea. Like, they just, you know, it was Amazon Music and then Spotify. They were both like, hey, we're going to throw you guys up in the Yonge and Dundas Square, which is basically like Toronto's Broadway, pretty much. Wow. Yeah. So it was really great.
That came across my feed on Instagram the other day, and I was like, God damn, Canadians are doing it, dude. Let's go.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah.
I was really honored, man. You should, dude. Another thing here, too, is because I know you guys are a live band. With seeing the way shows are finally starting to get booked, are you guys putting things on the books, or are you still kind of up in the air about when you're going back out on the road?
There's holds in. It's nothing that's, like, set in stone, apart from a festival here and there. But, yeah, there are holds that are on that are like, okay, well, you know, we'll hold these dates, and hopefully by this time these dates will actually become a reality. Yeah. But that's the most that you can do right now. You know, apart from like actually booking a tour.
It's the most frustrating part. And even in the prospect of like when you guys were setting to release an album, you're just hoping that things stay on the trajectory that they are so you can actually complete what it is that you were trying to do.
Exactly. Like you hope the momentum is there. You hope that, you know, everybody's just as excited to come and watch you live as they were before the pandemic. So yeah, there's a lot of question marks, but we have a pretty good feeling about it.
Bro, be honest with me, because I've been oddly feeling this, right? So this one aspect of our lives, which is live shows, obviously runs what we do. It's our favorite thing to do in the world. Do you have a little bit of like odd anxiety about going back and playing shows again? Because
oh my God, 100%.
Dude, like, are people going to show up? Are people going to be too freaked out to come out? Like, I don't know. Like, it's weird.
Even just like, I don't think I could be thrown into like a 6-week tour off the bat either. I you know, you have to sort of like acclimate to it again, you know,
100%.
To like really take your time and work yourself back into it. So yeah, I absolutely have that anxiety for sure.
I was running the other day and I was like, I saw the Bonnaroo lineup come out.
Yep.
And I was like, holy shit, they're coming back. Shows are coming back. And I was like, oh my God, we have to promote shows again. Like it's been the one nice thing about like, obviously miss, like it's a gaping hole in my life, but like the feeling of like, oh shit, are people going to show up? Are we going to go to the city? Like, what's the deal here? That's been gone. And now I'm like, kind of like, holy shit, like got to get back in the swing of things now. It's odd.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. It will take like anything, you know, it's like anything that you don't do for a long time, you have to sort of work yourself back into it, or at least work yourself back into being good at that thing. So I could expect, you know, the first few shows as a learning experience. And then before you can really get into like the real good stuff.
Before we get into playing One by One, which is the song we're going to be playing off the record,
yep.
Now that we're bringing up live shows, of the songs that you haven't played live yet from the record, what are you most excited to get out and play?
Probably Spirit. I think Spirit is probably the most exciting one. And also One by One, though, for sure. I just feel like those two are going to translate really well to a live show. And I'm just excited to see how, you know, and how it comes together. And then also what the actual physical reaction is going to be to them. So 100%. Those two, I would say, are my most excited to return to.
I like, because Spirit, when that dropped as a single, I really, really like that. Mm-hmm. And I told you, I don't know if I told you before or after we start, LA Afterlife is my favorite song off the record. Yeah. And I'm excited. I can't wait to see you guys. Like, I want you to come back through Philly, or I'll catch you in another city, but I want to see you guys live.
Yes, man. I can't wait to hit it again, for sure. I think the last time we played Philly was Milk Boy. Is that correct?
Milk Boy.
Yeah, we talked about that one.
Milk Boy's a lovely place, except for the fact you got to walk up the steepest
place. The stairs, yes, 100%. Of course.
Yeah. All right, so here we go. We're going to go into One by One. Anything you want to say to the fans, new fans, anybody before we play this track?
Like Hidden Gems is out, and it's, you know, it's definitely something that we're very, very proud of, you know, as far as putting an album together. This is, I think, our best. So if you like this song, then definitely take the time to look at the rest of them.
Beautiful, man. Tark, it's been a pleasure, man. Congratulations on the new album. We're going to go into One by One.
Watch me drown, pull me in, down, down, down.